Begin the sermon this morning. I encourage you to get your Pew Bible out. Turn to page 1219, 1219, 1219, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at that today as we talk about the giftedness that God has given each and every one of us. 1219, we're going to be going through that text verse by verse just briefly this morning. And as we talk about the subject of giftedness. And the theme for the message today is, I am gifted. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Who I Am in Christ. Finding our identity, what that means really is, finding our identity in our relationship with Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how we're all family, how we're part of the members of the family of God. We're part of the kingdom. This church becomes your family. How many of you remember that sermon? We talked about that. Yeah, raise your hand. They're all part of the family, and because we're part of the family, we should feel connected to one another, and if we don't feel connected to one another, then we need to spend time with each other in a life group or Bible study, stick around after church and get to know people so that we feel a part of the family. Yep. Last week, we talked about worship, not just worship on a Sunday morning, but that every day is an opportunity for us to worship. And we talked about how we should make the most of the days that God gives us, not looking so forward to the tomorrows of life that we forget to see the blessings that God gives every day. And the subtitle of that sermon was, I Can't Wait. How many of you remember that message? Raise your hand, okay? So today we talked about worship, we talked about connectedness, and today we talk about the subject of service. Many of you know that the discipleship process at Peace Lutheran Church is worship, connect, and what's the third one? Serve, very good. And that enables us to reach our community with Christ. So today we talk about service in the kingdom. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. The sermon's starting now, by the way. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church in America is in trouble today. It is. Not only are less people coming, but oftentimes those who are coming see the role of the church this way. One of the major problems in the church today is this subject of consumerism. You know what consumerism is? Consumerism is a big problem in America. We like to consume products, we like to go to the store and buy things, and a lot of people have the same attitude about the church. I come to church to consume. The mindset goes something like this. I come to church to hear a dynamic sermon. I come to church to hear wonderful music. I come to church to be entertained. I come to church to be fed. I come to church to receive gifts. I come to church in order that I might be a consumer. Receiving, being entertained, being fed, hearing a wonderful sermon. I come to consume. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, necessarily. But really, that's kind of selfish. What can the church do for me? I am here to be served. It's all about me. The Word of God attacks that today. And it challenges all of us to find our place, our niche, in what we call the body of Christ. To find our place in the family of God whereby we can, starts with the letter S, serve the Lord. Now, before I launch into this text today, I want to tell you what the motivation is for us to want to serve the Lord. What the motivation is for us to use our gifts and talents to serve the body of Christ and to serve our community and to serve our extended family and to serve our society today. Here is the motivating factor. Don't miss it. Understand it. Embrace it. Be enveloped by it and rejoice in it. Here is the motivator to serve. And it is not, those of you who understand law and gospel, it is not the law. The law does not motivate us to to want to use our gifts and talents to serve the body of Christ and to serve other people. What motivates us? Those of you who are good old-fashioned Lutherans, what motivates us? Is it the law or is it the what? Gospel. It's the gospel. It's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I heard a song recently by Torrin Wells called Fully Known and Fully Loved by God. I'm not going to sing it because I'd embarrass myself. I can't sing that high. But it goes something like this. We're fully known and fully loved by God. Does that not comfort you today? To know that God knows everything about us. All our sins, all our weaknesses, our fears, our failures, our sorrows, our idolatry, our materialism, our lust, our envy, our jealousy, our gossip, our backbiting. He knows it all. And yet, what? He loves us. He knows it all about us. He can look into our hearts and see the depravity of our souls, the weakness of our sinful flesh, the sinfulness of our everyday life. He knows it all. And what astounds and amazes me is that you're fully loved by God despite that he knows us fully, and yet his love and his mercy continues to be showered upon us day after day, week after week, year after year, and yes, moment after moment. We're fully known by God, but yet fully loved by God. And how did God demonstrate his own love for us? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we're still sinners, what? Jesus Christ, you say it, died for us. Our sin, this is the great exchange. You've heard us say this a lot down through the years. Here's the great exchange of life. Our sin became Christ's. Christ's righteousness becomes ours by faith. You are robed in the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. God declares you innocent, righteous, holy, pure, sinless, without stain or wrinkle or blemish, all because Jesus Christ paid in full for your sins at Calvary's cross. And because he did that, our life is given to God. We say, my life now is yours. And not only did Jesus die on the cross, but we know this. 3 days later, he defeated death once and for all. He looked right down the pike of death and said, you're defeated. You're conquered. You don't conquer. You don't win. I'm the winner. I'm the victor. I'm victorious. And all those who trust in Jesus Christ have eternal life because of what he has done for us. This is why we serve. This is the motivating factor. It's not Pastor Dave saying, well, you see, you know, we need some slots to fill here at church, and we hope that. No. We say, man, my life belongs to Jesus, and I'm part of the body. I'm knit together by Christ's love. I'm a member of the family. I must serve. It's my thank offering to God for what he's done for me through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the motivating factor for service. So it's hard for me to preach a sermon here like this today and to have people just passively hear it and still say, I'm not going to get involved. Look at this text. The gifts and talents that God has given you is God's gift to you. What you do with it is what? You read it. Your gift back to God. Now you're probably thinking, well, what's this thing about talents? The scripture also calls them spiritual gifts. And I'm going to teach you about that today. Whether you're serving or not, this message is all for you. For those of you who are serving here today and involved in ministry here at Peace Lutheran Church, woohoo! Hooray! Way to go! Thank God for you. And I say that today. For those of you who are not, this is a challenge. And sometimes Pastor Tim and I like to challenge you. This is a challenging message, based not on what I think, what I feel, what I believe, what's coming from my head, but based on the authoritative Word of God. How many of us believe the Bible is the Word of God in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation? Raise your hand. So how many of you believe that what I'm preaching here today is not from this? How many of you believe that? Okay. Every hand ought to go up, by the way. Okay. Yeah. So if you're upset, well, Pastor Davey, you know, I'm so busy, I really don't have time to serve the Lord. This is the word from the Lord's heart, not from mine. So look at this. This is awesome. Awesome. I was salivating when I was reading this last night in preparation for this, man. Awesome. Before I read this, I want you to understand the analogy that Paul is making about the church. He's saying the church is like a human body. And when you look at a human body, every part of the human body has a specific function that it's to carry out. The eyes see, the ears hear, the hands grab, the feet walk, the legs support the body, and on and on and on. Every part of the human body has a role to play. And you guys know, I remember when I was playing football years ago, obviously many years ago, I was 13, 14 years old. I was a quarterback for the football team. I've shared this with you before. I was a quarterback for the team for one game. In that particular game, we attempted four passes. I completed three, all for touchdowns for the other team, okay? Not good. Not good. That wasn't my role on the team. But I can remember I got injured in one particular game, and I went limping off the field, and I was limping like this, you know, and the coach said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, Dave? Did you hurt your ankle? No. Did you hurt your knee? No. What'd you hurt? My elbow. Why are you limping? I don't know, but it really hurts." When one part of the body is hurting, or when one part of the body, human body I'm talking about, is not functioning, the whole body is impacted. Those of you who are on the sideline, on the grandstand, watching ministry happen here, we need you. Because you're part of the body. And you guys know, we got somebody over here. Joe is hurting, you know, Joe Furr, you know, he separated his shoulder, he's really hurting. It affects his whole body. He can't use his arm. There's parts of the body of Christ here today that are simply consumers. I know that's hard to hear, but it's true. And remember, we said that's the problem with the mega churches today. People come and they hear, and they listen, and they're entertained, but they're not involved in the body. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, this is a longer sermon today. Last week was 20 minutes, so I'm making up for it today, okay? Okay, so chapter 12, verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We've already talked about that. Okay, as a matter of fact, here's the gifts that God gives to the body. I'm not going to read them all, but one of those gifts, or a few of those gifts, identify what you're good at and what you're passionate to do. And so that's the body of Christ, that's the church at work. And again, as you look at those today, and by the way, that they're at the end of the pew today, if you look at those gifts today, you say, yeah, that's me. I'm an administrator, or I'm good at music, or I'm good at teaching, or I'm good at encouraging. And again, what's the motivator? Is it me saying, well, we're going to preach about the body of Christ? It's the gospel. The gospel. The gospel motivates us to say, yes, I'm gifted by God, and I must return thanks to God by using the gifts that God has given me. So that's what Paul is talking about here. Verse 15. Go ahead and look at it in your pew Bible. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. What's that mean? That means that oftentimes people are jealous in the body of Christ about what other gifts people have, not understanding and recognizing the fact that they too are gifted. Sometimes people look at Pastor Tim or I and say, you guys, you're the big shots. You're the all-stars. You're the rock stars in the body of Christ. And what this is saying is there should not be any jealousy among the body recognizing the gifts that God gives various people. And I want to tell you, the ushers and the greeters here today are just as vital and necessary as Pastor Tim and I are. That's what Paul is saying. Sometimes we look at what other people do in the body of Christ and say, well, because I'm not that, I guess I'm not needed. Or because he teaches, I guess I'm not needed. Or because they preach, I guess I'm not needed. Not at all. Remember, we're offsetting, it starts with the letter C, consumerism today. Where people just show up at a church and want to be entertained and fed and walk out of this place and not use their gifts. We're saying no to that. That's not the church. It's not the body of Christ. It's not a picture that God has in mind as to what the church ought to be all about. Okay, verse 16. Go ahead and look at it. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Isn't that funny? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? What's he saying? That the human body can't just consist of an eye or an ear. That would be pretty weird. The body wouldn't function very well. So in the body of Christ, we can't just have a bunch of administrators or a bunch of teachers or a bunch of folks who show mercy. No, there's various gifts that God gives, and they're all necessary and they're all needed. That's what verse 17 is saying. So, every part of the body has a function, and every part of the body, I'm talking about the body of Christ, is needed. There is a function, and that function is needed in the church for that church to do great things for God. I pause for dramatic effect. Function and needed. All right, let's go on. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So he's given you gifts and talents to be used inside the body of Christ. And there should not be in the body of Christ and the church at large a jealousy whereby we say, I wish I was more like that. I wish I could sing like Lisa Lindemann. I wish I could teach like Kent Patton. No, everybody has their part, and that part fits together inside the body of Christ. So here's what I've often told people down through the years about this. You need to find what you're gifted at and what energizes you. What you're gifted at and what excites you. Because you can't have one without the other. If you're excited about a certain area of ministry, but you're not gifted, you're not going to do it well. If you're gifted in a certain area of ministry, but you're not excited to use it, can you guys tell I get excited about preaching, by the way? Can you tell that? I wake up on Sunday morning, popping out of bed, ready to share the word of God. It excites me. I'm enthusiastic about it, and I make no apologies about it. So it is with you. There should be two areas. Number one, I'm gifted at this. Number two, I'm passionate. I'm energized. I'm excited about it. Let me give you some examples at risk of not disqualifying any of you when I say this. But Nancy Lambertson has a gift of hospitality. Deb Albrandt has a gift of mercy and helps. Gary Pearson has a gift of wisdom and discernment. Tim Lindemann has a gift of preaching and teaching. Lisa Lindemann has a gift of singing and edifying the body of Christ. Frank Melander in our church has a gift of exhortation and encouragement. Two women in our congregation who saw something recently in the bulletin. They said, oh man, you need meals? I have the gift of hospitality. Joyce and Madeline both came up to me and said, we want to serve because that's our area. That's where we function. That's where we can help. They get it. And so may it be with each and every one of us. What is your place? Where do you fit? How can you serve? Let's finish up this text. Verse 18, go ahead and look at it. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? He's talking about the human body, but also the church. As it is, there are many parts. What's it say there? As it is, there are many parts, but what? One body. So let's apply this. Here's another quote. When you find your spiritual gift, God will give you an opportunity to use it. When you understand that you're gifted by God, he will give you an opportunity to use it. So if you're on the sideline regarding ministry here at Peace Lutheran Church, it's time to get in the game. It's time to be involved. It's time, number one, to understand what your gifts are, and number two, to utilize them. And this is what I encourage you to do. If you're not involved in any kind of ministry here at Peace Lutheran Church, identify what your spiritual giftedness is. Put it down at the bottom of this card here today, right down here. Say, you know, I looked at those spiritual gifts that you handed out in church. This is what I'm gifted at. I'm good at administration, or I'm good at singing, or I'm good at teaching, whatever it is. Identify it, and then we'll try to plug you into ministry. Because you've been challenged today to understand you're part of the body of Christ, and we need you. Secondly, for those of you who are already serving, which is about 70 to 80% of you here today, thank you. You're doing it. We're thankful. God bless you. Now, here's the challenge for all of us. What you're gifted and passionate to do, do it out in the community. Do it in your home. Do it in your workplace. Use those gifts and talents to serve others at school, wherever it is. Let me just give you an example. I have the gift of encouragement. Some of you know that about me. Some of you may not. But I try to breathe that into as many people as possible. And when I recognize that somebody's really good at something, I like to say it. Some people have a hard time with that, don't they? You think about somebody and they're really good at something, but you never say it. I have a lot of gifts that I don't have. There's a lot of gifts I wish I had, and sometimes that jealousy comes over me. But I love to encourage people. So we have this guy across the street who's always outside keeping a watch over our community, keeping a watch in our street. He's sitting on his porch. He's a retired guy. He loves to talk to people. He has the gift of hospitality. I said, Tracy, you're really good at that. Keep doing it. Whatever gift God has given you, keep doing it in the community as well. What would the church look like? What would your life look like if you understood that you're gifted by God and you use that giftedness every day to serve the Lord wherever he calls you? What would the church look like if every person here today identified what they're good at and utilized it to build up the body of Christ? What would this church and every church all across America look like if people realized the church is not something you come to? Church is something you're a part of. Big difference. What would the world look like if the church at large in Jesus Christ understood that we are to let our light shine before other people, that they may see our good works and give glory to God in heaven? I mean, it'd be a well-oiled machine, the church would be. Consumerism would be gone. The church would be what God intended it to be. People gifted by God, serving one another in love. So my challenge is, find your place, and like the Nike commercial, just do it. Speaking of well-oiled machines, last week, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Peace Lutheran Church, was like a mighty army. We had the community barbecue here at Peace. Some 80 volunteers were serving one another in love. Some were cooking, some were greeting, Some were parking cars. Some were handing out flyers. Some were cleaning up. Some were taking down. Some were preparing food. On and on and on. I looked at it and I said, this is the church at work. This is the way it ought to be. So here we go. Why do we do this stuff? Because of the grace of God. What is the challenge for every one of you here today? To find your place and to start serving the Lord. It is your thank offering to God for all that He has given. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God our Father in heaven. Why? Because you are gifted and you are part of the body of Christ. Amen?